Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. If you're one of the many people who uses Google, you may have noticed a different welcome screen when you first arrived at google.com on December 10th. Instead of the standard multicolored Google logo, visitors saw a doodle with a Victorian-dressed woman on the left of the screen and a sort of progression of the evolution of the computer moving across the letters in Google toward the right. That may have left a few people scratching their heads. Who the heck was this mid-19th century woman? Some author of children's tales? Nope. That doodle was a tribute to Ada Lovelace, daughter of the poet Lord Byron and a good friend, at the very least, of Charles Babbage, on what would have been her 198th birthday. Babbage, you may recall, is the person credited with designing the first of what we nowadays call computers back in the 1840s. But recently, we've come to realize that Babbage had a very important collaborator, and that was Ada Lovelace, a very high-powered mathematician in the early 19th century when few women had the opportunity to study mathematics, let alone make major contributions to the field. Ada Lovelace wrote the first algorithm for the design of Babbage's analytical machine. And though it was never built while they were alive, when it was finally built toward the end of the 20th century, it actually worked. One reason was Ada Lovelace's contributions. The U.S. Defense Department recognized her accomplishments when it named one of its high-level computer languages, Ada, and the British Computer Society awarded her a posthumous medal in 1998. So, if anyone asks what that doodle was all about, let them know it was about one more example of women in science getting very belated recognition for their contributions. Meanwhile, if you do use Google, or any other search engine for that matter, here are a few websites you may have missed, but may find interesting. Grab a pencil. If you don't happen to have one handy, or if you have a power saw or maybe a toddler in your arms, or are driving along somewhere, all of these links will be on the Notes from the Electronic Cottage archives at www.weru.org under today's date. As long as we're speaking about science, here's a site that's designed to provide solid information about current debates on scientific topics, particularly topics that were raised during the recent presidential campaign. A group of scientific organizations such as the American Association for the Advancement of Science, the National Academies, and the Council on Competitiveness came up with a list of 14 topics, ranging from space to food to pandemics in the future, and many other contemporary topics in which science plays a central role in deciding public policy. The National Academies Press has made copies of its reports relevant to each topic available for free download. If you want to get some solid scientific information about current issues that isn't filtered through some ideological lens and is written in plain English, this is a good place to start. Go to http://notes.nap.edu/science-debate-2012. If you're interested in learning about a lot of other topics, either for yourself or especially for younger members of your family, the American Association of School Librarians has compiled a list of 25 of the best websites for teaching and learning. All of these sites are free and encourage users to explore and discover, either alone or in a community context. You can take a look at the list at, and this is a long one, www.ala.org/aasl/guidelines-and-standards/best-list/best-websites-top-25. If you're someone who's interested in getting some sort of credentials to show that you've mastered some skill or area of knowledge, take a peek at the Open Culture website. We've discussed before on several occasions how many top universities are now putting courses online for free. There are now literally thousands of these courses available. The question is, how can I find one? And how can I find one that provides some proof that I've completed the course satisfactorily so that I can demonstrate to a present or potential employer what I've accomplished? A good place to start is at www.openculture.com/free_certificate_courses. This site lists several hundred courses that are starting soon, as well as some others that have no particular dates and can be taken at any time. What makes this site different from lists of others that provide lists of available courses, such as, for example, sports and society or analytic combinatorics, is that this site lets you know what type of certificates are available if you do successfully complete the course, so that if you're interested in credentials, you can address your effort to courses that provide them. But maybe you don't even want to take a formal course, although you would enjoy looking or listening to interesting material that you don't come across every day. Well, here are a few sites for people with more specific interests that may not show up in the first page of search results. If you're interested in art, particularly contemporary art, head over to Artsy. That's http://art.sy. Pretty clever, eh? Using a domain name registered in Syria to make the website name Artsy. Anyway, this site has, it's part of its mission, to not only show, but to actually sell art. But in order to do that, it makes over 25,000 works by over 3,700 artists from around the world available to view online. Some of the pieces are from museums, some from galleries, some from private collectors. And the site is working with the soon-to-be-launched Art Genome Project, whose goal is to make every artist, arts organization, and arts event in the world searchable and findable. Take a peek. Finally for today, if you'd like to see an uplifting example of your tax dollars at work, head on over to the National Endowment for the Arts podcast site to enjoy podcasts with artists and those who love them, ranging from Pete Seeger to Andre Watts, from Liz Carroll to Laura Lippman. There are over 120 podcasts already available, and a new one is added pretty much every week. So, there we have it. Some of the benefits of the web, free and available to anyone, at home, at work, at school, or in the local library, wherever we access the web. Of course, we can access WERU just about anywhere, on the web for sure, but just about everywhere else too, at home, in the car, or anywhere else we can go with a portable radio. So, please keep doing that and tune in to future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.